America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
We may be excited about the start of the football season. However, we know that folks around us may have lost a friend or family member recently. The exclusive sponsor of our show, the law firm Condori and Murad, can guide them through the difficult probate administration. If you've had that issue, you too can talk to Condori and Murad. They will help bring clarity and closure to a loved one's estate. Schedule a free consultation with their probate and estate planning attorneys today. Visit kmlawyers.com. Tell them we sent you. You'll get a discount. kmlawyers.com. We're live all over Richmond, AM 910, FM 105.1. We are live in the DMV on our flagship 106.7 The Fan for our second hour. And we are live wherever you are, coast to coast, on the Odyssey app. Remember, you can watch us in high definition on the 106.7 The Fan YouTube stream as well. Let's go to the BetQL guest hotline and welcome onto the program our buddy Will Montgomery, 10 years in the NFL, longtime starting offensive lineman on the interior for the Commanders when they were the Redskins. Will, thank you for the time, bro. How are you?
Hey, Grant, I'm doing well. How you doing? You know, I know we had lunch a couple of weeks ago, although you made me pay for my own lunch this time, although a couple of years ago you paid for my lunch. So
different
for some
times.
Reason, I'm paying for my own lunch now.
Yeah. Yeah, that was pre-COVID. I've lost like three of my five jobs.
That's what he does now, Will. It's nickel dime here, there, and everywhere. It's like, dude, open up the pocketbook, Scrooge McDuck.
Yeah. He said, let's go have some lunch. And then, by the way, it's like $75 to park, another, you know, $50 for lunch. Mm-hmm. They got the tolls going back. I need an expense report just to hang out with this guy.
Well, that's why we'll do quarterly meetups, not monthly. Okay, once a quarter. That NFL salary did you okay. We're going
to
make it work.
And maybe Don't Zoom a couple times this. just to lower the expenses.
Yeah, I got you.
A lot to get into, but I gave you a little homework assignment. Speaking of money, for free, we did not pay him to do this for us. But we gave him a homework assignment to dive in on Washington's offensive line because, Will, the perception is that they've been kicking butt. And the numbers that I look at and care about, things like ESPN's run block win rate, pass block win rate, PFF's grading, all very, very favorable. Some of them top five, some of them top 10 for the Commanders to this point. So what do your eyeballs tell you when you watch them?
Well, my first impression is when you gave me the list of the interior three, which I'm familiar with these guys. I also appreciate you spelling their names with the pronunciation attached to it, like Nick Allegretti, Tyler Biadasz, Sam Cosmi. So hopefully I didn't botch that too much.
Crushed them.
But
you did it.
But no, those guys are all big men. You know, they're 6'4", 6'5", 320. I think one time when I was training for the combine, I got up to 320 at my highest ever, but that was when I was juiced up on creatine and eating that macaroni grill every day and just benching, bench pressing and squatting. So I think I played it more at about 305, 306. These guys are all north of 310, if not 320 plus. And the thing that I noticed about the way they block, especially in this scheme, is it's not as much outside zone like the Shanahan era. These guys are doing smash mouth downhill football. It's called the gap scheme. That's powers, it's counters, it's traps. Obviously, they mix in a little bit of the zone read. So their version of the zone game is just a simple sort of inside zone that's more of the vertical zone, and then the quarterback can read it on the backside. But I completely agree with your analysis that these guys are moving other humans off the ball, to the quote Russ Grimm, they are men and they're moving another man against their will backwards. So if you can move the defensive line off the spot a yard or two, that is huge in the NFL because most of the time you're getting a stalemate at best. But if you can move the line of scrimmage back a yard or two, and then your running back is going to get 3 yards in the cloud of dust every time. If he makes somebody miss, now you're looking at those gash runs of 10, 20, 30 plus yards.
So we'll kind of two-parter here, and feel free to tell me I'm wrong at any point in time. So I've always felt sort of non-QB runs notwithstanding. So, forget about kind of a zone read concept or something like that where the quarterback can take off. But in general, I've always felt like it's harder to run from the shotgun and maybe harder for the O-line. So first part of the question is, agree or disagree with that? And then if you agree with me, how have they overcome that to be so effective in terms of run blocking?
Well, I will say when you're making a snap from the center position, it's a little bit harder to make an accurate snap and then, fire off and block somebody because you almost have to slow yourself down, try to make an accurate snap, and then speed back up and pile drive somebody. Now, if you're a guard or a tackle, I don't think it really matters either or.
Okay.
If you're definitely in a short yardage situation, kind of goal line, fourth and one, you see the Eagles with Kelsey doing the tush push and all of that. The center can definitely fire off better if you're under center. Now, if you're in the gun, you can still do it. Hopefully, you're sort of on your 45-degree angle so you can kind of, get a plant step down and then drive into your man with the second step. It's a little bit harder to straight fire off with that first step in the shotgun. But these big boys, like I said, they're 310, 320 plus, 6'4", the 6'6 plus, and then they're all, they're doing a great job with it.
I want to start at center, and Will Montgomery started at that position for Washington for years, joining us on Grant and Danny. I think Tyler Biadasz has been fantastic. He comes over from Dallas, kind of a mixed bag with what I was told about his performance with the Cowboys, but obviously Dan Quinn liked him enough as a guy, as a leader, and as a player that he made him a priority in free agency to reunite with him here. He's had 185 dropbacks, basically, in pass blocking, and he has allowed one pressure. And it was a hurry. He has not allowed a quarterback hit, a sack, anything like that, according to the PFF counting stats. When you watch him, what is he doing so well? He also hasn't been penalized yet, by the way, which seems like a big deal.
Well, first thing I'll do is give you the analysis that my 7-year-old son and 9-year-old daughter gave me. We had the game on, and they saw a big number 63 out there. They're like, wait a minute, Dad, are you still playing? Like, how are you still out there? I'm like, no, that's another big 63 that's an inch taller and about 10 pounds heavier. But I noticed that, and another quick tip with center is half the time you're in double teams. So that's another good part about center, unless you're playing a team with the 2-0 nose with the guy stacked over your head. So if you can cross your fingers during a couple games and not have many one-on-one blocks, that's why, the worse off you get, the closer to the ball that you get. So you're basically double team blocking the whole time. But no, I think Biadasz is doing a great job. You see him IDing the mic or the Will or the Sam linebacker, setting the schemes. I see where he's pointing. So I think he's doing an excellent job. He's a big, thick guy. He reminds me of like those old school Steelers and Ravens O-line. They're just big bodies and they're stout for the quarterback, which is great. So the pocket is firm in the middle. So there's room to step up. Your tackles are allowed then to ride the guys by. So it's really your prototypical, power, ISO, heavy-duty O-line. The Commanders have that right now.
Longtime NFL lineman Will Montgomery with us here on G&D. So I'm going to go to the right tackle spot here, Will. Andrew Wiley got beat up pretty good last year. Really struggled at the start of the season. Actually played better as the season went, but nobody noticed because they weren't any good and they were losing a bunch of games. And his rep from early on wasn't the best. That was a spot where a lot of fans, dummies like me included, said, hey, they could probably do better there, but they're maybe kind of stuck with a contract to sort of see what happens. I feel like he's played well as part of this group. What do your eyes tell you about Andrew Wiley at right tackle?
Well, I'll say one thing in general, and I'll pick on my buddy Tyler Palumas over there. I know he's doing radio work for the Broncos. You know, we were able to hide Tyler Palumas, and I say that loving Tyler a lot. But if you run the ball and you execute play action and you stay ahead of the sticks, when I say that, you stay on schedule, it goes first down, second and seven, third and 1-2, and you don't let those pass rushers tee off, there haven't really been a lot of obvious pass situations. The run game has been there. The check down game, the quick game, really, if you're an O-lineman, especially a tackle, you're sweating about third and long. If you can avoid a lot of third and longs and obvious pass downs, you have yourself a good game because you enjoy the run game, you enjoy the play action, you enjoy the boots, you enjoy the zone reads. And if there are a couple of pressures, you know, your quarterback's going to bail you out of a couple of those and turn the sack into a 60-yard explosive play. So really the best thing you can do for a tackle who you may not think is an all-pro tackle is run the ball and stay on track.
You know what I'm amazed by, Will, is they're doing this weird left tackle platoon timeshare thing that would seem to me like it could never work. I remember early on, maybe Shanahan's first couple games, we were all stunned because I think it was Derek Dockery was like the entrenched left guard.
Yeah, it was Dockery.
And he split time with Lichtensteiger, I think it was. And soon enough, Steigs took over as the starter. There was another time where Palumas, who you just mentioned, I think it was Palumas, digging back into my time on the beat now, so I might be confusing it. But like him and Jamal Brown started splitting. And it was because he was about to take over that starting job or whatever. And I bring this up to say, this is by design now, week in and week out, that it's basically a 50-50 timeshare between Cornelius Lucas and Brandon Coleman, the rookie. And I haven't really asked. I want to get over there when I'm able to for the next a press conference to say, like, how do they do this? Is it series by series? Is it two, then the other one gets two? And what is the idea here? But it is working really, really well. What do you make of it?
Well, historically speaking, if the younger guy is getting reps, that's because they want him to win the job. Now, if the older guy is still getting reps, that means the younger guy hasn't quite beat him out yet. And then there's also a financial incentive to that. I remember when I first started getting reps, I think Artis Hicks took too much pre-workout jacked. So I got in back in there at right guard during the Shanahan era. And even though I came into the league as a seventh rounder and bounced around to a bunch of different teams, I knew I did not have a short leash at all because under the Bugle era and Zorn era the previous season, you know, I had been benched for sometimes average play. So when I was the guy that they didn't necessarily want, I actually played seven, what I consider amazing games in a row, and they couldn't replace me. So if you are the younger guy or the underpaid guy or the late round draft pick guy, you kind of have to, play better than your, you have to outplay the other guy no matter what. Now you're going to get more chances if you are a high draft pick guy, the coaches have an incentive for you to play to make them look good. So there's a little bit of politics involved, but at the end of the day, the best guy usually will play. But it's just a matter of how many opportunities you get from where you come from.
But just to make it work, I mean, everything we always hear about the line is continuity and reps and unity and togetherness. To be series by series having a different left tackle seems like it goes against that.
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest thing is your guard next to you. So if Big Nick over there is able to make his double team calls, because really I don't want to say they're running a simple scheme, but essentially what they're doing is they're double teaming, they're down blocking, or they're running their pin and pull play. And when I mean the pin and pull play, you get your tight end and tackle blocking down, and then maybe your guard and your center are pulling. So they basically have three different schemes. And based on those three schemes, it could be a simple game plan where you have a four down defense. So you're basically double teaming, down blocking, or pulling. I mean, so it's kind of easy to make those calls. Now, it gets a little bit trickier in the pass protection game when some of these exotic blitzes happened. Or I remember watching the Eagles years ago when you had Evan Mathis and their left tackle. They used to set on different levels. When I say that, the guard may set tight to the line and the tackle may deep set. So there's things like that where, in the third and obvious pass situation, you want to make sure that you're in sync with both guys either sitting on the line or both guys sitting vertically off the ball to make sure some of those twist stunts don't come into play. So I think, yeah, it's more of an issue in the passing game, but they've been avoiding a lot of these obvious third and longs and playing catch up. We haven't seen the Commanders down too often. That's really when you can kind of see the holes in any kind of communication in the O-line play.
Will Montgomery with us here on Grant and Danny, breaking down the Washington Football Gentlemen's offensive line after a long career. Will, I just sort of wondered in general here, like, there, I'm sure it's like a trade-off, right? But good and bad. I'd love for you to go through it. What's it like blocking for a quarterback that's this mobile? Right, on one hand, a statue back there, you know where he's going to be, but so does the defense. On the other hand, you know, when the target is for three steps and you know, you're still blocking, and you can kind of tell that the guy hasn't thrown the ball yet. Like, what are the challenges therein, and what are the benefits of it, of blocking for a guy that's as mobile as Jaden Daniels?
Well, I definitely block for both types. And let me start with your question, doing it the other way. When I was in Denver in 2014, blocking for a non-mobile quarterback named Peyton Manning, he got that ball out in 2.5 seconds. We led the league in the least amount of sacks given up, but really it's because that ball was out in 2.5 seconds every single time, no matter what. And even if instead of you know, throwing it away sometimes, he would just fall to the ground and take a sack. So half of those sacks, he was just diving to the ground. On the other side, obviously, with a mobile quarterback, he's going to save you a couple of times. I mean, in this past game, obviously, he, you know, did his Houdini trick and got out of a couple of sacks, and some of those turn into explosive plays. So the play will be extended. And then conversely, that might accidentally add on to a couple of sacks later on, because if that ball is being held on to more than 3.5 seconds, or if the quarterback is setting back to like 10 plus yards, then those sacks are really on the quarterback. If he's hanging in there at 7 yards and that ball is out within 3 seconds, then those sacks are usually on the O-line. But also some of these blitzes that we're seeing, if you only have 5 or 6 blockers, including your back, and they're bringing 7, then you are hot. I know there's that big play this past week where the defense brought an extra defender off the right side that should have been a sack, or if that was Peyton Manning, he probably would have thrown it away or just dove to the ground. But our quarterback here, Jaden, was able to get out of that somehow and make a 60-yard pass down the field. So I think really sometimes it helps. Sometimes it may add to the sack total. Sometimes he'll get out. So it just kind of depends.
Will Montgomery with us on G&D. What's something that you get annoyed by or that you see with a lot of even media members, but like people breaking down a play or maybe an analyst on a game blaming something? You go, well, that's not quite right. Like, what is something fans, media don't always understand about the O-line?
Well, a big thing, I think, is who to blame the sack on, because they think media and even Pro Football Focus. I spent a year with Pro Football Focus also a couple years ago, but they don't understand pass protection schemes. It's not just like you're playing Madden and you step back and you take most dangerous. You generally go to a specific person, whether it's the middle linebacker, the strong backer, the weak backer. Sometimes you're sliding out to the nickel will. There are some cases where you're sorting strong or you're sorting weak. There's other times when the running backs check their assignment and then they leave. But sometimes the running backs leave early and their guys come. There's other times where the line sees that their guys are not coming, so they kind of try to come back in late to help out. But in actuality, that's not their guy. If they happen to get a sack, the line is bonus in that case. So even like somebody like me, who I think I understand protections well, I can't be 100% sure on who to assign some of these sacks to, but the media and even Pro Football Focus at times will automatically give a sack to somebody who came inside their gap just because, oh, why would you block that in there? Why wouldn't you block that stand back or blitzing in the B gap? Well, probably because it wasn't his assignment on that play. The Q was either supposed to throw hot, or that's the back's guy, or some other circumstance was the case.
Well, only a minute or two left here with you, buddy. Give us something to kind of look for here going forward. Just a couple of your keys to maybe sustain this thing or even get any better on the offensive line. What are some things that you're kind of going, I got this circled and I want to see how they do?
Well, you know what I'm encouraged by, especially with the offensive coordinator, Cliff Kingsbury, is I'll see a play where there's a pulling part play, like I mentioned, the pin and pull. where, you know, your tackles and tight ends are blocking down, and you get some pulling parts outside. And then the very next play, he'll run that same concept but throw the pass off of it. So I love how he's protecting the run plays with the play-action pass. Not so different than how my 7th and 8th grade flag football team is going. I'll set it up with a reverse or a double reverse, and then I'll hit the fake reverse, the fake sprint end around, and hit them deep. So if I can trick the 7- and 8-year-olds with flag football, that's basically Cliff Kingsbury is kind of stealing what I'm doing to my flag football team and doing it with the Commanders. You run the ball, you run the runs, and then you make it look like that. You take your play-action shots deep, and that's really a different way of kind of running the Shanahan offense, if you think about it. You know, I know there are like 7 or 8 head coaches in the league running that right now. The run, play-action off the run. Cliff is doing it as well, but he's doing it in his own way, where you have a mobile quarterback. There's a few more reads in there. Sometimes the quarterback, I've seen him pull it a few times where maybe he shouldn't have pulled it, but more times than not, when he pulls it, it's a good choice. And I love how Cliff is protecting the runs with the play action shots off of those runs.
Will, do you do any consulting?
I'm consulting right now with you guys.
Okay, because my 6-year-old, his flag football team, between me and Coach Matt and Coach Luke, our offense is, guys don't remember where to line up, and everyone just kind of runs forward, even if they're getting the football on a reverse. Like, we can't get them lined up right. So if you can come out to a practice or two, that would help us.
Well, when in doubt, just kind of kick them a little bit, kick them in the butt. And then,
right.
In all honesty, sometimes when I tell these 7- and 8-year-olds what to do, and then 1 second later they ask me, oh, where do I go? Sometimes I'm like, I don't know. Like, I literally just forgot, and I told you 2 seconds ago.
Right, I literally just told you.
I'm telling 5 kids where to line up. There's a center, a quarterback, and we're in the 5-on-5 league. And, yes, that sometimes can get a little bit dicey.
Will, great info, man. Love a good breakdown on the O-line. We'll have to take inventory on how they're looking again here in a few weeks. Thanks for the time. We appreciate it.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Yeah, see you, buddy. Good. That's our buddy Will Montgomery, former Redskins offensive lineman in town on Grant and Danny. We do have Caps tickets to give away today in 40 minutes ahead of the Beltway Blitz, so make sure you are listening. Let's go through some of the teams in the NFL next that are struggling a bit. Should we be calm or concerned for their chances to make the playoffs? That's next on The Fan.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
You know what might look good for Sunday's 1 o'clock kick in Baltimore if you're going to the game? A no punting t-shirt. The punt with the cross through it that we got. It's a good look. Go check out all of our merch, all of our latest Jaden Daniels and Commanders designs, plus the new no punts gear. 1067thefanshop.com. Order your t-shirt or hoodie now. That's 1067thefanshop.com. I've been saying t-shirts. The hoodie's the play, right? I mean, definitely, it's fall now. Hoodie season, that's the best.
Yeah, this morning, walking to school with the kids, it's like sub-50 a couple straight days, so it's hoodie time.
I want to go around the NFL here, look at some of the struggling teams in the National Football League. Darris will dive into the standings. We're going to go calm or concerned, Danny. If you are calm, you still think this team's going to make the playoffs, there's nothing to worry about just yet. If you are concerned, you don't see a renaissance coming after a slow start. What's up, Dad?
Calm or concerned about the San Francisco 49ers? They are 2-3. They play tomorrow night at Seattle on Thursday Night Football.
A little bit concerned. This is still a team with a high ceiling. The track record is there, so, you know, rule them out at your own peril. But this McCaffrey, it's in both legs now, and it's worse than we thought, kind of. It just feels like one of those snowballs rolling. They're banged up. They can't quite get right. Nothing is that easy for Brock Purdy anymore. I still think they end up having a nice year, but it's not what we're used to. So that's why I'm saying concern. They pretty much get out of bed and win 12, 13 games. I don't think that's the case this year.
YouTube audience, and Danny, I want you to look at my hand. What's it doing?
You're holding it about a foot and a half, maybe 2 feet above the table. It's flat. You could balance something on it. It's still?
It's not shaking.
It's not shaking.
My hand never shakes. Billy Costigan style.
Billy Costigan.
The San Francisco 49ers are just fine. They're in a division where they are one game back of 3-2 Seattle, who they play this week. Where they win at 3-3, they will be in first place in the NFC West, likely to start next season pending the Arizona result. The 49ers are fine. They are super banged up, and they are a one-point loss that they shouldn't have lost against the Cardinals away from still without a bunch of their best players on the offensive side of the ball for durations of this season, you know, being at the top of the division. I know it's tough even with Seattle, Kansas City coming up, Dallas before the bye, but they will eventually get this thing turned around. Tough schedule. Look at their stretch run. Bears, Rams, Dolphins, Cardinals in that stretch. I think they're going to be okay. This is a playoff team. I am calm on San Francisco.
Calm or concerned about their division rival, the team that actually got their only win against, the LA Rams. They have a bye week this week, and then they play the Las Vegas Raiders on the other side with hopefully Cooper Kupp returning.
I am concerned about the Rams. I know they'll get Cooper Kupp back in week 7, and they have one game left to play, maybe without Kupp, before he comes back against possibly Minnesota. But they're not very good. They're 1-4. They were so lucky to beat San Francisco. They lost to the Lions by 6. They lost to the Cardinals by 31. Then they shocked the Niners with that miracle fourth quarter when we were in Cincy, watching in our nice suite at that beautiful hotel. What was that hotel called?
The Hotel Covington. The Hotel Covington.
We stayed with Troy Aikman and Joe Buck, although not in their room. That would have been weird. The Bears, they lost pretty handily. The Packers, now they've lost two. They're 1-4. I think they beat the Raiders 2-4, and then they've got Vikings, Seahawks back-to-back. They're probably going to be 2-5, and I just think that's too big a hole.
Yeah, concern, although they've got one blowout loss here. It's Arizona. Week 2, they looked horrendous. Everything else has been a one-score game that they've been in. That's as a really banged-up group. The thing is, I don't think you get unbanged up. I don't think all of a sudden they're just going to get healthy overnight. Cooper Kupp's coming back, yes, for now. It just feels like one of those, again, snowball rolling in the wrong direction type groups where they don't have enough talent in a lot of places, and it's Matt Stafford and Sean McVay's genius kind of keeping them afloat. I don't think they have it this year.
Calm or concerned, after 2 weeks, they were once America's darlings. Since then, they are 0-3 and lost their starting quarterback. The New Orleans Saints, they're 2-3, and they host Tampa Bay this weekend.
Concern. This is who I thought they were coming into the season. Their head coach was the guy I thought was going to get fired early on, right? Dennis Allen. But now all of a sudden,
Dennis Allen would be Robert Saleh.
Yeah, I thought he was going to be the first to be fired. That's the thing I would have bet on if I were to have wagered on that. But they came out scoring 45 a game through 2 weeks, and that's a distant memory, isn't it? I don't think they've scored 45 combined. Maybe they have over the last 3 weeks total.
49 total through three games.
They have been a dramatically different team over the last three, regressing violently to the mean. Now without Derek Carr, I just don't see it for them. There are two teams that are, at a minimum, that are better than them in the division.
They play the Bucs and the Broncos in the next 10 days, I think it is. Let me see here. The second game is 8 days. They have two games in the next 8 days, so I'm sure that's good. They will lose both of them without Derek Carr, at least one of them. But if that's the case, and you're talking about 3-5, I am concerned. The Bucs are good. The Falcons have trended up in the NFC South. New Orleans is in big, big trouble.
Calm or concerned about our division rival here in the NFC East, the Philadelphia Eagles, who are coming off their bye week to host the lowly Cleveland Browns this weekend?
I'm calm. They're a Saquon Barkley pitch and catch, a catch that he makes 100 times out of 100, that my six-year-old makes 96 times out of 100. They dropped that pass, which will never happen again, away from being 3-1 and having beaten Atlanta, or just a couple normal tush pushes or play calls away from being 3-1, despite having a rash of injuries. They've got an easy schedule here coming up. Cleveland and the Giants, I think we're going to look up, and Philadelphia is going to be, 7-4, trending in the right direction. They're not great. They're not a juggernaut by any stretch of the imagination, but people, digging their grave and writing their epitaph too soon.
So I'm going to say calm, in that I think they are going to be a playoff caliber team when it's all said and done. But I feel about Philly today what I have felt about them since the season began, which is they're frauds a little bit. I just don't think they're that good. And I'm not going to think that until I see a lot more deposits. Danny mentioned in their favor that they could be 3-1, and that's fine. I could also point out that they easily could have lost the Packers shootout when Green Bay had a couple receivers slipping and falling that were wide open that would have scored touchdowns. They could have easily lost their win against New Orleans, oh, by the way, 15-12, when two defenders ran into each other on a mesh concept to give Dallas Goedert 70 yards in the game-winning drive. So, sorry about your luck. I mean, they could be 0-4 just as easily as they could be 3-1. The Browns, they should beat. The Browns are terrible. They play the Giants. I think that'll actually be a tight game. I think they lose to the Bengals. I think the Jaguars is tough. But eventually, it's Cowboys, Commanders, Ravens. There's enough stinkers in here that they'll be fine, and they'll get to 9, maybe 10 wins. But I'm not worried about Philly. They don't scare me. They're just okay. But I'll say calm in that their whole season's still ahead of them.
Calm or concerned about the team that was the first to fire their head coach this year, and they have so many primetime games that nobody asks for, the Jets at 2-3, who host the Bills on Monday Night Football this week.
I'm going to go with concerned. Aaron Rodgers looks old. He does not look very good. He was awful against the Broncos. You want to blame that on bad weather? That's reasonable. He was just as bad against the Vikings, and I don't think there was that much bad weather in that London game. That's two straight now where he has not looked good and their offense has stunk. Their only wins, Danny, are against the Tennessee Titans, who we're going to pick in the top five, and the Patriots, who we're going to pick in the top five. Now, if they beat the Bills tomorrow night, I will possibly sing a different tune. But I think they're going to be 2-4 going into a matchup with physical Pittsburgh. That's going to be a toss-up type game with their season on the line. Their schedule down the stretch is softer than it looked like it was going to be. Dolphins, Jags, Rams, Bills, Dolphins. So if they could just get out of their bye in week 13 with a shot, they might be okay. But I just don't like what I'm seeing from Rodgers, and I think their offense is broken. They can't run the ball.
Yeah, concern. Before the season, I thought they were going to win the AFC East. I thought this group has so much talent, all they needed was a healthy adult quarterback. I'm not even talking about Aaron Rodgers' MVP of a couple years ago, right? I just mean someone that's sentient, someone that's not Zach Wilson literally ruining things or somebody else, and it's not just Aaron Rodgers. They just don't look right defensively. They're still very good, but they can't run block all of a sudden for some reason. Who knows what the causation or the reality is there. Their passing game looks clunky, and every yard seems like a nuclear fusion project. It's really, really hard for them to do anything on offense. I don't think a defensive coordinator or defensive coach for another defensive coach fix any of that.
Final one, calm or concerned about the team that let us here on the Grant and Danny Radio Show program come up to their stadium and put our feet up? The Cincinnati Bengals, who are 1-4 and have a stretch of the Giants, the Browns, Philly, and Las Vegas coming up in the next few weeks.
Strangely, I'm calm.
At 1-4, doesn't that seem weird?
They dug themselves into a great big hole. I was there. I saw it. But Joe Burrow threw for 7 trillion yards, leads the league in touchdown passes at this point. Their offense, with Jamar Chase on one side, and if you try to stop him, T. Higgins on the other, they're going to score points. They're going to win some games. Now, preseason, people are going, this is a 12-13 win team. They're not. But I think they end up in the postseason, despite their terrible start.
I don't think they make the playoffs because I think their defense is awful. They've given up defensively 4 straight weeks now. 26, 38, 24 to Carolina, and 41. 41 to Baltimore, 38 to Washington, and 26 to the Chiefs. And sandwiched in there was a get-right offensive game for the Panthers, for God's sake,
yes,
with
that's
Andy
true.
Dalton at quarterback. What are we doing here, Harry? I think they beat the Giants. That gets them to 2-4. Then they play the Browns. That gets them to 3-4. The Eagles game is kind of a season definer because if you can get back to 4-4, Raiders after that, maybe you're 5-4, you've won 4 straight, and then you play the Ravens. You're back in the mix. You're back. Let's go have a season. But that's a lot of wins I just strung together without any hiccups for a team that just can't stop anybody. So I will say that I am concerned based on their record. I still think their best football is ahead of them, and I love that offense. And if you told me right now they made the playoffs, I guess it wouldn't shock me. But 1-4 is a massive
it's a big hole
to dig out of. That's just tough. You know, if they're 2-3, I'd probably go calm. That was fun. Thank you, Dad. Grant
and
Danny on the Fan. We're big fans of you, Dad.
Love you, Dad.
Double play is next. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports. And at the top of the hour in 20 minutes, we got a pair of Caps tickets for you for next Thursday night and a Beltway Blitz. Grant and Danny on the Fan. We're taking you up to 6:30 this evening. Thanks for making the show part of your day. Week 6. No.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. How's that already happening?
No.
Week 6 in the NFL. The locals trying to get to 5-1. They're in Baltimore. We will get you a preview of what the Ravens are looking like with their health coming up on the Beltway Blitz ahead of the Battle of the Beltways. Just a few minutes out. That's at the top of the hour when we give away those Caps tickets. Time for our double play driven by our local Washington area Honda dealers. Stop in for a great deal on the rugged and capable Honda Pilot. Contact your local Washington area Honda dealers today.
Played some pickup hoops last night, GP. Our Tuesday night game, back at it. A few different games, so you know, a lot of playing eight just to keep everybody rolling and a couple subs and getting some water and dab our faces off with the towels and stuff.
Full court?
Yeah, the full court.
4-on-4?
We did fours. Yeah, it's an elementary school gym that we play in, so it's tough for 5-on-5 because literally if you're on the baseline trying to shoot a three, your feet are out of bounds. Like if you try to shoot from deep, you are a foot and a half out of bounds.
Is everyone
on this court.
Good enough shape to run the whole time?
Yeah, this group is in pretty good shape, I would say.
Wow.
Yeah, which is good. So, you know, that's what makes the games worth it for everybody is to be able to come out and run. I mean, people like me, I have to walk every once in a while if there's a little bit too much back and forth. But first game, I had to cover Jim. Now, Jim's about 6'3", and bigger guy, he can move. And when Jim is hitting shots from the outside, which is what he was doing in that first game, I'm just getting punished. I mean, he kicked my butt, GP, that first game. And I'm going, well, maybe the strategy is try to run Jim around on defense. You know what he did? He just blocked my shot a couple times. So I didn't tire Jim out at all. Jim did just fine for a couple of games. That wasn't a whole lot of fun. Then as the day progressed, everyone got a little tired. I got lucky. I got really hot at the end of the game, or the last game we played. We were down 5-0. I took it upon myself. I took that personally. Jordan, with the iPad style, ended up 4-for-5 from 3. Had a pull-up jumper in there as well for a total of 9 of our team's 11 points in the closeout game to go home. And
do you only tell us about your games when you do really well?
No, I told you about the first one. I got my ass kicked. I struggled a little bit early on.
No, I'm just
wasn't in great shape. No, I answered. I mean, I'm just giving you information. Yeah. Like, it's not important. I'm just telling you what happened,
right,
and that I, you know, hit four of my five threes. The
but
other one rimmed
it out.
My point
is, if the 9 points out of 11 last night didn't happen, are we doing this as our double play today?
Possibly, possibly
if
not.
If you had two games like the first
Who's
game.
To say? No, we played five games last night. Maybe six. Because I sat one. It was six. So,
I wonder if anybody is keeping track and doing the stats and has like some chart they're doing. Because you're kind enough to break down your games for us on the double play regularly. The 4-on-4 pickup games that you take part in. You're kind enough to give us full analysis
so of
that.
So we'll be fine from a couple weeks ago.
You don't have to.
No.
Like it's a Wizards-Celtics game. So I wonder if anyone's just keeping tabs on your season stats.
Yeah, again, overall, the percentages aren't great. There's not a lot of great numbers in there because there are games at a time where it's just, I couldn't throw it in the ocean. But the reason I bring all this up is, one, to brag, but two, is you just, I'm kidding, come on, is just to tell you that I got home on a high. Because the last game, you know, competitive, like one more, let's all finish out strong, and I was on fire, and it was great. I had fun. Rode home with my buddy Ben.
Played next to you in pickleball. I know you get into it.
I get into it. I'm competitive. It's I can't just run. I need to do and have something competitive. I wanted to tell my wife so badly about what I had done because she's doing me a favor. She's got the kids solo. That's the witching hour. Picking up from practice, getting them fed, washing everybody where they need to be washed, teeth brush, getting the pajamas. 7 fights. Everyone yells 14 times. Read a book. Get your butt down, answer all the questions, get the water, retuck in, say I love you and goodnight 50,000 times, right? As I'm getting home, sweaty and useless, I just want to tell you about that game I just played. Let me just start from the beginning. So start, I was covering Craig, and Craig is a real good athlete. He gets up and down real good, but then I got switched on to Jerry a couple times, and Jerry started covering me, so I was covering Jerry. He scored, but Jerry didn't score that much. So I'm going all whatever, right? So she stopped after about 4 seconds of me trying to explain what happened and put her hand up very gently and said, I'm really happy for you. I'm going to bed. And I realized...
That's great.
I realized I'm so annoying. And that's my double play.
I love that, though.
That was my self-realization that, oh my God, I'm annoying.
Like, she's at a point where she's comfortable enough just going, dude, good for you. And I am happy that you're happy.
I'm happy for you.
She is happy, by the way. She's glad that you had a good time.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't need to hear about your good time. I kind of like that.
That's the summary. I'm happy for you. I'm going to bed.
But you hit 9 of those 11 points.
I did in the last game.
Were they like all like, Danny's hot, Danny's making shots, oh, don't let Danny get going, stuff like that?
A couple guys, yeah. Like I got a couple head shakes from the other team, which was nice. Okay. Brian, who was on my team, Brian's a real solid player, nice guy. He was kind of like giggling. You know, like, oh my God, another one. That's so funny. I'm like, yeah, whatever. It's not a big deal. You know, just pretending that it wasn't a big deal, but it was a big deal in my heart.
Well, I'm happy for you, too.
Thank you, buddy.
And time for bed. I listen to you, but right now I'm telling you I'm going to go to bed. It's time for my double play. I just want to remind everyone that I thought the Joker was terrible.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we did enough on that. I was reading yesterday basically how it all went sideways. Supposedly, the Joker 2 came to Joaquin Phoenix when he was having a dream. Like, the idea for the movie and the way they were going to do it and the character disposition and, like, where they picked up, it came to him supposedly in a dream. And he called Todd Phillips, who just had, like, carte blanche to do whatever he wanted. And Phillips was like, all right, let's do this. And, like, no one checked him the entire time. And the more I've thought about it, I think you hit it out of the park when you said, you can't do a musical without telling people you're doing a musical.
Mm-hmm.
I need to know when I buy the ticket if I'm seeing a musical or I'm not. You don't need to tell me everything about the movie. There's a couple things I'd like to know before I purchase the ticket. Am I getting myself into a musical or am I not? Because I need to get in a musical mood. Do I want to see a musical tonight? Do I not want to see a musical tonight? That movie stunk.
Mm.
And the further we get away from it, the more annoyed I am by it. My initial response was like, God, that wasn't that good. I really didn't like it, but whatever. It's art. Someone will like it. I don't know how anyone's going to like it. It's just not that good.
Here is just a quick interjection and a thought from me, and I want your take on this as a movie guy. I applaud in general. I'm generally, like, if you ask me on a binary, 1 or 0, do you want people to be adventurous, make bold choices, not just make the same old formulaic thing, be original, right? The original Joker was that. We've done Batman.
But the original Joker was not good. Yes, it was all of those things. It was a passive. Would you agree with that? That was not a good movie.
I do think it was a good movie.
You do?
Yes. I think it was overrated. I think everybody lost their minds. And I think everybody should have calmed down.
I thought it was fine.
Yeah, I'm like fine plus.
Okay.
Yeah.
But look, I think it was all those things.
No, Ralph Fiennes for me.
But also, there is like a ceiling, I think, with like the dark movie lane that I'm just not going to leave. When you leave feeling like you just saw something really heavy, that does kind of water down the overall grade. But my point is, whatever you thought of the first movie, ooh, this one's not that.
But you see where I'm going, right? I want people to make bold choices. I don't want everyone just to play it safe. Let's make the same old formulaic crap where Channing Tatum ends up with the lady, and you know the same superhero we've seen in like an easy relatable situation. Maybe he loses his powers. We've done all the same formula stuff forever. Now we're remaking things that were okay. You know what I mean? Like we're in this phase. So I generally want people to be adventurous, but then when it sucks, I'm like, will you just go back to what you know?
Just don't make it a musical without telling anyone. You know what I mean? Like. Have some checks and balances. Mm-hmm. We don't really have to just do the full dream that Joaquin Phoenix had that time.
Yeah, that's enough for that.
I don't know that we need to do that.
Enough of that.
Beltway Blitz next. We're giving away Caps tickets on the Fan 425. What and who isn't getting enough credit for the Commanders' 4-1 start? We'll dive into that on Grant and Danny.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.